This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Thursday afternoon, August the 19th, we're going to round off today's program, last half hour, talking with Brett McCracken about hipster Christianity. It's been everywhere. It's sometimes painful to watch men of my generation and older, sad to say, trying their hardest to be cool. And when a pastor does it, it's even more painful to watch. But it's not just a pastor problem. It's also entire congregations. Want to be cool Christianity. Our guest Brett McCracken has written recently about it in the Wall Street Journal in an article titled The Perils of Want to Be Cool Christianity. He's author of the new book Hipster Christianity: When Church and Cool Collide, and he's managing editor of Biola University's Biola Magazine. Brett, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, thanks for having me, Todd.
Will you describe for me, as you do so well in your book, the typical hipster pastor?
Yeah, I mean, they come in different shapes and sizes, but I think the typical hipster pastor is kind of this, you know, mid-30s, 30-something, 20-something maybe pastor who maybe is dressed in skinny jeans and a V-neck and has kind of a expensive haircut and just talks in kind of deep intellectual sounding sentences and likes to quote secular poetry and philosophy alongside theologians and ancient Christian mystics and things like that. they like to use technology. Maybe they encourage texting or Twitter during their services. They like to show clips from R-rated movies here and there to emphasize the point in their sermon. So stuff like that.
And within these hipster pastors always appear within a context. What does the average, if you were to go on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night or whenever they happen to gather together to a hipster congregation, what would you find there? What would the experience be like?
Yeah, I mean, one thing about hipster churches is that they kind of vary widely. And sometimes you have hipster churches that are more into like the old forms of Christianity, and they meet in cathedrals and they have candles and liturgy and Lectio Divina and things like that. So, and maybe they sing hymns and instead of contemporary music. So that's one type. And or then you might have the more like mega church, loud music, rock band, lights, and you know, technology and things like that. So there's different variations on it. But in all cases, I think you would find just a lot of young people, a lot of really well dressed, trendy looking young people just milling around everywhere. And you know, usually there's like coffee and just like trendy fonts on all their materials and just kind of the look of young, hip, trendy.
Can you explain something to me? One of my extremely boring hobbies, I can't even call it a hobby, it's just more of a time waster, is just to peruse church websites. I think you learn a lot about what a church thinks it is.
Yeah.
By looking at the website. They all seem to have, especially of those that I would classify as kind of hipster, wannabe cool congregations, they seem rather cookie cutter to me. You've seen one, you've seen them all. They're all doing a series on sex. The pastors all pretty much look like they are dressed from the same you know, style book. Their sermons sound the same. The music is certainly all the same. I'm not trying to deny what you said before, that this comes in all shapes and sizes, but there is a cookie cutter aspect to that. What's going on? All these people are telling us that they're on the cutting edge, that they're doing something no one else is doing.
Yeah, that's kind of the paradox of wanting to be cool, is that there's always got to be a reference point of what is cool, and all these pastors in their efforts to want to have hip, cool congregations, they're looking to the culture and they're reading the right magazines or whatever to figure out exactly what it is that is cool these days. So, yeah, I think you're right. Naturally, there's going to be a kind of a homogeneity to it if they're all kind of looking to the same reference points to figure out what being cool looks like.
What's behind all of this, Brett?
What's behind all of it? I think kind of a lot of it has to do with just the urgency that pastors and Christian leaders feel today in the face of youth leaving the church. I think at the core it comes down to that. And it's been kind of an issue for decades now. You know, how do you engage the youth and how do you make sure that they don't abandon the faith when they go off to college or, you know, enter their 20s? So I think a lot of this is just figuring out, like, how do we, like, make our churches relevant? How do we make them something that is relevant to the lives of today's 20-something or, you know, adolescent teenagers? So I think that's the root of what's forcing these pastors to try to go the cool route and make their churches hip and appealing to these young people.
Do you think they're pulling it off?
By and large, I would say no. I mean, the statistics haven't changed. If anything, I think they're getting worse. So I would say it's this tactic of making church cool to appeal to young people doesn't work. And I think there's a lot of reasons why it doesn't work. For one thing, trying to be cool is an uphill battle because it's always changing. The nature of cool is that it's changing every second. And the minute something cool becomes at all mainstream, the cool kids have to move on to the next thing. So it's this cannibalizing process where the minute something becomes cool, it becomes uncool. And so if you're a church that's trying to catch up in this rat race, you're always going to be a few steps behind and that you're going to look a little desperate and clunky to the young people who are looking at this and seeing, like, oh, look at that. It's so cute. They're trying to be cool, but it's, you know, that was last year. So that's one problem. And I just think that fundamentally it's just a weird thing to focus on as a church. Like, we have this thing at our disposal, which is the gospel, this message of life transformation that has been transcendent, you know, and it's lasted 2,000 years and it'll last throughout eternity. So why are we lacking confidence in that and instead focusing on dressing it up and making it cool? And I think young people see that and they wonder, you know, why is this thing called the gospel and called Christianity really so feeble that it has to be marketed to us in this way?
Do the intended targets of all this, you know, kind of desperate coolness, mm-hmm. The youth, however you classify them, you know, 15 to 20 or whatever group we're worried about here, do they see this for what it is? In other words, mm-hmm. I'm thinking that's, you know, generations behind me, but I'm thinking these people have been marketed to from their conceptions, and I suspect they see through it.
Oh, totally. I think you're exactly right. You know, my generation has grown up completely in this world of marketing and advertising, and it's just inundated our lives, and we can see through it. We're savvy about it. You know, you can smell marketing a mile away. So in the world of marketing in general, I think people are having to get a little trickier with the way that they market, knowing that it's so see-through to young people. So, again, I just think when it comes to church, you're running the risk when you try to market to young people that they'll be able to see it as marketing and be turned off even more.
My daughter's 18. She once said, I think she said it with reference to me, but she said, look, you're either cool or you're not. And of all the great cools I've seen or experienced in my life, that's pretty true. I mean, mm-hmm. some people have it and some people don't. James Dean didn't try. He just was.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to include Elvis and others in that category too, maybe you don't. Is Christianity, it's a difficult question, is Christianity cool?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question of the book that I wrote, and that's chapter one's title, Is Christianity Cool? And I think that it depends on how you define cool, and I sort of call for us to redefine it a little bit. And if Christianity is cool, it's not because it's cool in this trendy, always changing, always relevant and cutting edge sense. It's cool in the sense that it is the one thing that will outlast the universe. It's beyond fickle fads and trends, and its appeal and its life transformation power is it's that is the cool part. I mean, that's the thing that will always be relevant to the world. So, yeah, I would say definitely Christianity is cool and possibly the coolest thing that's ever happened to the world.
When we come back, we're going to go through some of the details here. One of the things that Brett points out in his book is that image is paramount. If you're trying to be the cool pastor or the cool congregation, image is everything. We'll go into more detail on that after this. It's Thursday afternoon, August the 19th. We're giving away a copy of the new book, Hipster Christianity, to the listener with the best question or comment for us. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us with a question or a comment right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or leave your question or comment on Hipster Christianity at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You might have to scroll down a bit. Some other things have updated it, but we have a place for you to leave your comments there, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our guest, Brett McCracken, is managing editor of Biola University's Biola Magazine. He's author of the new book, Hipster Christianity, When Church and Cool Collide, and he's also written a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled The Perils of Wannabe Cool Christianity. 1-877-623-6943. Coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, August the 19th, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, and we'll get to your comments on the Facebook fan page on the other side of the break, facebook.com/issuesetc. I gave up a long time ago. I tried to pull it off in high school, failed miserably, came close in college, but someone was always outdoing me. And once I got married and I knew that the woman I love would spend the rest of her life with me, I gave up. We'll be right back.
It was hard to believe you called those people stars. They'd sang through their noses like they all had coats. I guess it's hard to be cool when you're 40 years old.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
It's hip to be square. It's hip to be square.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes on this Thursday afternoon, August the 19th. We're spending it with Brett McCracken, author of the book Hipster Christianity, When Church and Cool Collide. Brett, let's talk about image. You say that it is really paramount for both the pastor and the hipster congregation. What do you mean?
Well, I think in general, when you are trying to be cool or hip, it's all about image. It's all about appearance. And the hipster world today exists mainly on this superficial level. In former eras, you know, back in the 60s maybe, the counterculture, the hip culture, had a little bit of an ideological component to it as well. It was against certain things and was standing up for certain things. But I think nowadays, hipster culture is mainly just a way of looking and a way of appearing. So I think that's what I mean when I say image is important and of paramount importance. If you want to be hip and cool, it has to be something that you can see in the way that you look and the clothes that you wear and having the right hairstyle and the right brand of jeans or whatever.
You also say that technology is extremely important to hipster Christianity. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because I think in some of the hipster churches that I've visited, there's almost a rebellion against technology, and they've created space where there's no technology, and it's just kind of in a cathedral, and there's no PowerPoint or anything, and they're singing hymns. But for a lot of these wannabe cool churches that are trying to meet the culture where it's at, I think technology for them is huge because it signifies the future and it signifies cutting edge, and so they feel like they have to incorporate it in whatever way they can. You know, even if it's hard to think of a way to incorporate Twitter into their church service, they'll figure out a way to do it just because it'll make them seem cutting edge and relevant to the times.
Albert in California emails us. He says, isn't the cool Christianity model or any other growth or marketing model ultimately an indication that the pastors of these churches do not believe that the preaching of Christ and Him crucified is what's going to make the church grow? It seems that it's a clear indication of a basic unbelief in the power of God's Word. What are your thoughts there, Brett?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think that's kind of the problem when you put off this cool Christianity thing. It belies a lack of confidence in the power of the gospel itself and the power of the message. And like I was saying earlier, I think young people look at that and they think, you know, why is it so necessary for you to dress it up if it truly is the powerful world-changing message that you say it is? So, yeah, I think a lot of these pastors fundamentally have a little bit of a chip on their shoulders and they don't have the confidence that the message itself will be the attraction and it'll be the thing that will get people in the door and keep them there.
Ann in St. Louis via Facebook says, hipster Christianity, I think I already tried that and found it to be wanting. Very lame, shallow, and self-focused. What do you make of her observation?
Yeah, I think the self-focused part particularly I would agree with. That's one of the main problems that I think we have with hipster Christianity is that to be cool and to be hip is fundamentally an individualistic, self-serving sort of thing. It's all about making myself look good and making sure I'm looking cool and I'm sort of elite and exclusive to others. So yeah, I think the individualistic component is definitely a big negative.
Cindy in O'Fallon, Missouri says, the article, and that's your Wall Street Journal article, states that part of the plan is to rebrand Christianity as countercultural. She says, to me, the funny thing is that while Christianity actually is countercultural, it seems that what they're trying to do is make it cultural.
Yeah, it's become kind of this complicated like circle. I think I would say yes, that Christianity is countercultural. It is fundamentally something that calls us to be set apart from certain aspects of culture and different. But she's right. Like the way that a lot of these churches are trying to brand Christianity as countercultural is it fits so nicely and neatly into what the secular culture is already doing and saying. So that version of countercultural Christianity is, yeah, it's almost more cultural than countercultural.
Bill is listening in his car. Bill, thanks for waiting.
Hi. I was just wondering if you could comment on how churches going in the hipster direction affect the existing members of the congregation who have been going there for a long time and maybe aren't part of the young crowd and are looking for their spiritual food each week.
Bill, it's a great question. Brett?
It's a great question. Yeah, I think that is a danger, and I think when you have churches that are increasingly full of these young hipsters who like look very cool and hip, it's going to start making other people uncomfortable, whether you're older or even if you're just not cool. It's going to make you feel a little bit alienated and kind of insufficient. So I think it's a problem, and I do think churches should have multi-generations within them, and it should be a diverse body, but I think more often than not, what happens when you try to make your church cool and hip and young and relevant is that you start to have a more homogenous community, and you do start to turn off everyone else except for the young people that you're targeting.
David in San Jose, California. A judge doesn't try to make his courtroom cool. It's not the place for cool. Neither is a church. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the church should be a place where we can have a respite from the cool that our culture is just full of, and it's bombarding us in every day and everything that we do. You know, I think we're so overwhelmed with technology and images and advertisements that keep telling us you are insufficient, like you need to be cooler and hipper, and you need to have this product to be cool and this. So I think church shouldn't be a place where we come to and experience that same thing. It should be a break from that. It should be a breath of fresh air where we can connect with something that's deeper and more long-lasting and more transcendent than all the ephemeral trends and fickle fads.
A quick call from Joe, who listens in St. Louis. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. I guess I have some clarification I need. Are we talking about Paul, you know, to the Romans he became a Roman, to the Greeks he became a Greek, in the sense that we're looking at the external aspects, or is this something that goes beyond that where they're changing the message and saying Christianity itself is hip and cool, and if you participate, you too will be hip and cool? I mean, I don't know that I'm opposed to external packaging if the message itself can somehow be unaffected.
That's a very good observation. What do you think, Brett?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great observation, and definitely I think we're called to contextualize the message, the gospel, and our presentation of it to whatever context we're in. But I do think that sometimes the message can be changed and adapted in negative ways when we get so focused on making it cool and trendy and appealing. I mean, just in the marketing world, and I work in marketing as a professional, so I mean, I know that, like, as a marketer, you typically remove the difficult elements of the product and you focus on the easy path of least resistance, things about a product. So when you apply that to Christianity, you know, I think it becomes dangerous because there are difficult things about Christianity. It calls us to deny ourselves and to give of ourselves and to be other-focused rather than self-focused. Those aren't the most appealing things to the culture. So it's not going to be an easy sale necessarily if we're trying to sell Christianity and market it. So while I do think we need to contextualize the way that we go about presenting the gospel, I don't think we should adjust it to fit the needs and the wants of a community if those perceived wants conflict with what the gospel actually calls us to do.
A real quick 30-second response to Paul in Ohio, who says, it's rather pathetic. It often comes across like an old guy going through a midlife crisis. I might be old, but I'm still cool. Isn't far removed from, I'm a Christian, but I'm still cool. Your final thoughts there with about 30 seconds, Brett.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think it does come across as a little bit pathetic and desperate. And I mean, just the response to my Wall Street Journal article by a lot of secular observers, it was sort of that very thing. Like, this is so pathetic that these Christians are trying so hard to be cool, and it just comes across really negatively, I think, more often than not.
Folks, you can purchase Hipster Christianity When Church and Cool Collide at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brett McCracken is managing editor of Biola University's Biola Magazine, author of the new book, Hipster Christianity, and he's also written a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled The Perils of Wannabe Cool Christianity. Brett, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And the free copy of the book, Hipster Christianity, goes to Bill, who called us from his car. Bill, if you give us a call back, 1-877-623-6943, with your mailing address, we'll send you out a copy of Hipster Christianity. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Jennifer Roback Morse about the new pro-choice campaign titled Sarah Doesn't Speak For Me. It comes from Emily's List, a pro-choice woman's group, and it's running all over the place. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Here's the basic problem. The church is ancient. The church is ancient in the extreme, dating back to the book of Genesis and the first promise of the one who would come from the woman, her seed, who would crush the serpent's head. This faith is ancient. It must transcend all our fads and fashions and time and nationality and ethnicity and our notions of what's in and what's out. And the pursuit of cool is an essentially adolescent pursuit. Most of us outgrow it. The church should outgrow it too. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.